Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, we are halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, however you are choosing to consume our program. We certainly appreciate it. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And I look forward to this day every single year. And I've already seen people eye-rolling on Twitter like, oh, God, nobody cares about your Spotify Wrapped. I disagree. I care immensely about your Spotify Wrapped. Not just yours, Ben's, or yours, Paul. You listening. I care.
What does a person's Spotify Wrapped tell you?
About them?
About that person.
You know, not much, because...
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
Hey!
What a great bit that was. 97.3 The Machine. Yeah, take the top off. That's all I need to know about you. Your Pepe hole. Like my wife's, for example, would be horrible. Horrible. But I love her.
Horrible.
Yeah.
What makes a Spotify Wrapped horrible?
Well, horrible for me, it would be mostly Christmas music, because that's all we've been listening to for 6 weeks, constantly. It would be Christmas music. It would be, I don't know. I don't even know she listens to a lot of music. She's always watching murder shows. That's pretty much it. But I love her, so I don't, you know, it doesn't. But I do see some out there, and I do judge a little. Just from afar. I don't judge publicly. But I see it and I go, oh, yeah, big Morgan Wallen guy.
I feel your judgment.
You should.
You don't do it publicly. I still feel your judgment. Just kind of oozes out of you
a
sometimes.
A little bit, yeah. I'm sorry. I want to be discerning. But I love this day. I think it's so fascinating to see what everybody listens to. You can get a little bit of a glimpse into who they are. By what they listen to, I think. What people like, you know, art-wise is a good way. It lets you know, yeah, we'd probably be friends. I bet we would be tight. There's a tier one that I have now, a buddy. I consider him a friend. Our buddy Craig. Craig and I have very similar tastes in music. And I didn't know him really from Adam, but we DM'd about bands and stuff. And he's going to be the one over in England with me going to see Oasis next year. And I consider him a friend now. You know, based on kind of the same music taste that we have. So I certainly have friends with with terrible music taste, in my opinion, but I also have friends with music taste that I go, God bless, that's deep. Like, I'm actually jealous of your musical tastes and want to get into some of that stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I guess we can't really be friends because I don't even listen to music that often.
It's
I
so
listen
weird
to talk
to me.
Sports talk mostly.
I saw a tweet the other day that some girl tweeted, so there are people out there that actually listen to music every day? Are you serious? And that didn't register with me. It just didn't. I love talk radio too. I listen to Stern every day.
I will go many days without listening to music.
That is so odd to
me. We have our bumper music on the show,
right.
which is good. But
actively listening.
But
like,
actually, bumper music's the perfect length for me. I like about 12 to 20 seconds of music at a time, and then I'm good. But mostly I listen to talk radio, whether it's MLB or 97.3 The Fan. If I do listen to music, I actually prefer not knowing what's coming on, like the old radio. Like, oh,
yeah,
here's what I get. And, you know, I feel like...
How's that different from like a Spotify playlist with a bunch of different songs? You don't know. I mean, you can look and see what's going to come up next, but when you're just driving, you don't know.
12 to 15 seconds is the perfect length for you.
Yeah.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. Very, very...
Sorry about that.
Very good to know. That's all you need, 12 to 15 seconds.
I shudder to think it, like your total amount of time listening.
It probably trumps yours, I would guess.
I would think so. What's the comparison here on our Spotify?
Should we start with Ben?
All right, let's start with Ben.
And then I'm guessing it would be me.
No, second. I want to start with Woods.
Oh, you'll start with
and
me.
And then go to me. Actually, right. Just go back and forth.
All right, last year, I want Paulie's too. Last year, 59,754 hours
good
of music.
Hours?
God.
Minutes.
Sorry, minutes. Minutes of music. 59,754
minutes of music.
Yeah.
And how many, like, what was your most in one day?
On July 8th, I don't know what got into me, but I listened to music that day for 582 minutes.
In one day. All right. In my calendar year, I listened to 523 minutes of music.
In your one year?
In the entire year, I listened to less than you listened to on your biggest day.
Oh, my God.
My biggest day, September 10th, I actually listened to just over an hour, 63 minutes. So
what was that day? Do you
almost
remember?
Almost a tenth of my music listening came on September 10th. I have no idea why.
Hang on, let me look.
It's possible I just forgot to turn off my Spotify after 12 seconds and it kept running.
September 10th was a Tuesday, so maybe traffic, driving into work or something?
I have
something?
No idea.
Maybe.
How many different songs did you listen to?
4,093.
Jesus.
176.
That's
which
good.
Means
that's a huge jump for you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that also means that I only listened to each song for an average of no more than 2.5 minutes. So I didn't even finish almost any of those songs.
You're quick on the draw.
Right.
How many artists?
Total artists?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see
you
total
didn't see that?
Artists. Yeah, I just saw my top five.
995.
That's what you have, Paulie?
Yeah.
That's good. I had 953. I listened to 953 different artists, 4,093 songs.
My biggest day was 526 minutes.
More than my entire year also.
That's a long time.
No.
But it was October 11th, and I looked it up, and that was when I was in Palm Springs for a wedding that weekend.
Oh.
So I thought maybe, me and Megan were listening to music on the drive up or something, you know, a couple hours at a time. But no, it was the Friday. We were already there. I was on the golf course and doing, like, wedding stuff out in the afternoon.
Listening on the golf course, though.
I don't even think I did, though, but... I must have. Maybe it just played in the background. I don't know.
Yeah, July 8th, that 582 minutes is about 9 hours, almost 10 hours of music straight that day. What day was July 8th?
July 8th.
Was on a what?
That was a Monday.
Oof. What the hell I was doing on a Monday listening to 10 hours of music?
I was off that day, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, I was on vacation. Missed that day. You did the show without me.
Well, that's interesting.
I believe.
I got out of here and just cranked the tunes for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah.
What were your top five bands?
Top five bands were Kenny Loggins.
Are you kidding me? just jamming Footloose and Caddyshack theme song.
Jerry Rafferty.
Jerry Rafferty listening to Baker Street over and over.
Burn. It's 2024, by the way, everybody.
Why are you getting shy? What's coming? Look.
CCR.
Going off around the bend.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, my God.
I do like Sundown's good song.
Oh,
you are my incredible.
And my number one band of the year.
God. Gordon Lightfoot was number two?
Heart, yeah.
Heart.
Heart. Which was also my my number one song of the year.
Crazy on You?
Four times.
Heart.
I also listened to Magic Man a couple of times as well, oh, making Heart my
like
number one
Magic Man
band of the year.
Magic Man, Mama. I'm not making fun. I see her like I like CCR well enough. I don't.
Oh sure.
But I like if I hear. I don't ever go actively listen. But see, like somebody said, how do you love Skinner not CCR? Completely different band. Ronnie Van Zant's voice and John Fogerty's voice, two completely dead ass opposite sounds in my ear. Crazy on You. Why do you like Crazy on You so much? What about Barracuda?
I do like Barracuda, but I love which one is it? Is it Ann Wilson?
Yeah, Ann and Nancy.
The way she screams.
Yeah,
just that voice always gets me. I love that voice.
One of the best of all time.
Tyler asked a good question. Please tell me you don't pay for Spotify, Ben.
Yeah, you get it free.
I have the we have the family plan, okay. So you know, Shelly listens to a ton.
Sure.
The boys listen to it, and I just have the account because, well, we all have it. So,
how many hours again did you listen this year?
Hours, minutes. 523.
523.
So a little
minutes.
Like nine hours.
I did that in a day.
Yeah.
How many was your total? Is like 50,000?
59,754, yeah.
I was at 19,000.
60,000.
I thought that was a lot.
I did, and I don't know why. In July, I did go through a phase. Did you see those? You had the
yeah,
phases.
The phases.
Yeah. I had my McBling catwalk phase in July when I listened apparently to some Katy Perry. My guess is I had like firework on because of the 4th of July for some reason, and that turned into... When you have such low numbers,
the big theme
just
guy.
Listening to one song can actually turn into an entire phase.
You like that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
don't you?
It's all right.
Especially, you know.
I was like, a lot of my top albums were like, it was kind of unfair. It wasn't an accurate depiction because it was like comedy albums or something that I listened to like falling asleep.
So like I'll listen pump to your like, numbers up.
Like I'll listen to stand-up comedy or something because
right.
It's just talking. It puts me to sleep pretty easily. It's entertaining. But when you fall asleep and then it just keeps playing, you're like, oh, you listen to 45 hours of whoever. Like, that's not totally accurate.
Tyler said, Ben's 4th of July blowout plans consist of playing Firework by Katy Perry one time.
And if he gets really crazy, four times.
Those bands don't disappoint even in a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Who were your top artists?
Mine, Queens of Stone Age, 5th, Oasis, 4, Afghan Whigs, 3, Crosses, 2, Deftones, 1. Always. The same 5 pretty much every year.
A little extra Oasis this year.
I had a month.
The reunion.
So when the reunion, it said your phase was, you know, Britpop. In July and August, that's when I got everything figured out for my trip. So, yeah.
I like Foo Fighters were number 3 on my list, and that doesn't surprise me anyways. But then I remember, especially back in August, I went to a Foo Fighters concert. So I was listening to a ton of Foo Fighters, you know, kind of leading up to that. So it does make sense in that regard.
It's so funny, too, the yacht rock scene, because I've been reading about and hearing all kinds of great things about this new Yacht Rock documentary. It's on Max.
It's on my list.
So it was on mine as well, because I have decided I'm over biopics. I'm completely and totally... I saw the preview for the new Bob Dylan biopic. Timothée Chalamet may knock it out of the park, but I saw the preview for it, and I go, I can't watch any more of these. I think I'm done.
Jeremy Allen White in a Springsteen.
I think I'm done. I think I the biopic doesn't get me like it used to, but what is really getting me is documentaries about music. I just watched 2 Joy Division documentaries. Blew my mind. So I'm like,
are they
right.
Different? Is there that much Joy Division material?
Ian Curtis. There's a lot of material about Ian Curtis. So I loved them. Oh my God, they were so good. So I go and I try to put on the Yacht Rock documentary. And within the first 9 seconds, it's And I go, no, I can't watch this.
I'm, Michael McDonald.
I can't. Yeah. It just doesn't. I know I'm in the minority here.
I love that. I just love it.
It's right. And that's the beauty of music, because it touches you. It makes me recoil. He's sitting in a bit. And I just go, I'm not going to be able to get through this. So I made it 10 seconds. It would be like a chore to watch that thing for me. So I want you to watch it and you report back on a music doc.
I will say there's a chance this might be my last Spotify Wrapped.
Why?
I've really had issues with Spotify this year. It's gotten worse, I think. I don't know if you guys have experienced it. Like, I don't know how you use your Spotify. I like songs, and it puts it all in the songs playlist. And I'll usually just shuffle through that. Sure. Get a little bit of everything rather than, you know, a hip-hop playlist, a rock and roll playlist, or whatever. Kind of just the whole gamut. It plays the same, like, six artists, and even on shuffle mode, let's say I have 2,000 songs in a playlist, I'll hear a song, and then, I don't know, 15 minutes later, it comes back on again. A true shuffle is not supposed to do that. There's a bunch of weird settings you have to change. I've been back and forth about whether Apple Music might be better, and I know there's people out there that have Apple Music and had Spotify, or they made the change. I don't know, but I've been back and forth. I've been trying to look into maybe if Apple Music is better.
I have it. I get it free through my Verizon.
Do you guys have multiple playlists, or do you just have
multiple?
I have multiple, but I usually will just go to my liked playlist. I'm listening to an album.
The worst part of Spotify for me is kind of that. So let's say I listen to my number one artist, Deftones, right? And I hit shuffle on it. There's no deep cuts. Like, it's the same shuffled playlist almost, and it's not a playlist I made. That's the Deftones artist page. You hit shuffle, and it's like, oh, here's these songs again.
There was like a setting, like, it's called like auto mix or something that you have to turn off, but that didn't really solve
it.
It was just getting so annoying, and I was like,
Shuffle through every one of their effing songs. Just shuffle through those.
It's kind of like Android versus Apple or iPhones or whatever. Yeah. Like, the people that have whichever one you have, like, you're going to defend it till the day you die.
For sure.
And I've seen the people that have Apple Music, and they're like, greatest choice I've
ever
made.
Better quality.
It's much better. It's more functional. But I just haven't really done the research yet on whether.
I use them both.
I've put in so much work into Spotify over the last 15 years.
Somebody said these playlists are like my children. Like, I can't get rid of it. Great that you love Apple Music. I can't go over there because these playlists are like my children. So I can't leave.
Mine's an only child. I have one playlist, and I never listen to it. I just put the 20 songs that I really like on the playlist, and then if I ever want to listen to one of them, including Crazy on You, I know it's there, so I can find it. My one playlist?
Yeah, did you have a title for it?
It's called Mix Number One.
Mix Number One. Did you name that?
I did.
Okay, so just call it Mix.
There's no number two. Back in the day, I thought there might be a Mix Number Two, but no. It's just Mix Number One.
Lay it on me.
A Horse with No Name by America.
My God. Oh, my God.
Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult.
More cowbell.
Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones.
Great choice.
What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers. Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles.
Yeah.
Sultans of Swing, Dire Straits.
Still.
Dust in the Wind by Kansas. The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. Crazy on You by Heart.
That gets him real good.
Dream On by Aerosmith.
Great song.
Runaway by Del Shannon.
Excuse me?
Axel F. from Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, my God.
Cop.
No way.
Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Oh, my God.
Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Staying Alive.
Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I'm proud of you there.
Piano Man by Billy Joel.
Okay.
Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead.
Oh, look at you, pothead.
Smooth Operator by Sade.
Whoa.
Ganja, a.k.a. Cannabis. We built this city by Starship.
Oh, no. God.
Reminiscing by Little River Band.
That's a great song.
Oh, Yeah by Yellow.
Who?
Yellow.
Oh,
yeah. The one from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I love that song.
Oh, yeah.
My number two song from last year, Miracles by Jefferson Starship.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
If you believe it all. Yeah, that one.
I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins.
Oh, my God.
What's on Your Mind by Information Society.
I want to know what you're feeling. Yes.
Baker Street, Jerry Rafferty. Ride Like the Wind, Christopher
Pure Clark. Energy.
Right Down the Line, Jerry Rafferty.
Ooh, great song.
And let's see. Something About You, Level 42. Sundown, Gordon Lightfoot. Wicked Game by Chris Isaak.
Oh, you sexy. You're such an oversexed.
And Situation by Yaz. This There's my mix number one.
You are. And you made that yourself.
I did. I made that one myself.
I'm very
Songs
proud
that I
of
really,
you.
Really like.
Carefully curated.
I would like you to tweet out your mix number one playlist ASAP.
Well, I speak for everybody. I say, thank God that Ben doesn't handle the music on this
show.
Oh,
my God. Can you imagine? Oh, that is just. Yeah, somebody said, that's just a contemporary adult radio station, Ben.
You can do great.
That is incredible, dude.
I
program
excel.
For the masses. I program for the masses.
I like all his sneaky, sexy songs that he has slid in, like Wicked Game and Smooth Operator. Like, you old creep, dude.
God, I'm high.
That's so good. Yeah, he's got his Cut Loose Pothead song. Oh, Touch of Grey. You are unbelievable.
Ganja,
dude.
A.K.A. cannabis.
So good.
When I'm feeling a little touch of gray, there you go.
And if he's feeling a little sexy, a little smooth operator, you are unreal. Unreal. I love Spotify rap. You keep them coming, guys. I can't see enough of them, to be honest with you.
All right. We can get back to a little bit of sports when we come back. The Aztecs back in action tonight with a very dangerous game for San Diego State. Take a look ahead at what's coming up after a check of traffic with more Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where was this on your top five?
Oh, it wasn't in my top five, but it's in my playlist.
Yeah. Your custom.
It's actually the first one on my playlist.
Horse with no name.
America.
Man.
The show would sound different if I was in charge of the music.
Be
no
very
doubt
weird.
About it.
Yeah, it'd be very weird. Be very weird.
Well, we wouldn't have enough songs to go around for every show. So
like, oh, my God, this again?
Keep repeating every day.
That's true. 12 segments, intro and outro music for most of them.
Yeah, it'd be short.
6 a.m. hour, 9 a.m. hour, about the same stuff as they recycle every single day.
Here's America.
It is a good road-tripping song,
I like that,
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
relaxing for me.
Yeah.
It's just funny that...
You know, when I'm sad, I listen to Dust in the Wind.
Really?
Yeah, that's my sad song.
That's your sad song.
Yeah.
You ever heard of The Cure? Try them.
Oh, man.
And you are a gem. A true gem.
And he says, that's Ben's walk-up music.
Yeah.
America.
You're going to be able to stay up to watch the San Diego State game tonight?
What time is it?
7:30.
Yes.
At Fresno State.
Yes.
You were complaining about not being able to get your kids asleep at like 6:45 on Twitter last night.
I had a billion-dollar idea. Quaaludes for kids.
I saw
kids.
That.
Yeah.
But I think that's a billion-dollar idea at like 9:30, 10 p.m. At 6:45... You can't really be that upset that your kids are still awake.
No, it wasn't so much that they wouldn't go to sleep. It's that they were being incredible, incredible a-holes. Incredibly so. And just one threw the other one into a door jam and hit his head and then fighting. And, you know, there's like punching in the private part. They go to full-blown fisticuffs.
Someone suggested Benadryl, and you said,
that's
no,
like milk for them. You give them, my Taylor Scott, he's like, right, Benadryl. I mean, yeah, I need something that's stronger that's not going to hurt them. So,
right. You don't want to permanently damage them or condemn them to a life of addiction.
Correct. So. Were Quaaludes addicting? I don't know. I never took a Quaalude. Anybody has any? I've always been curious what a Quaalude actually did.
You know, in the old days, there's a little warm milk, and it's very soothing.
Yeah, yeah, no, warm milk doesn't work on my kids at all. Neither does yelling, neither does being calm, neither does really anything at this point.
Yeah, you'll probably have to stay up until at least 9:30 if you want to make it through. Tonight's San Diego State Mountain West Conference opener against Fresno State.
I was up late last night. I was up late, yeah, I was reading a...
Stewing? Were you just stewing all day?
No.
All right.
No, I was reading an oral history of the movie Boogie Nights that Grantland did many years ago. I put on Boogie Nights. I hadn't seen it in years. And I put on that movie, and I forgot how brilliant that movie is. And how... I don't know that it would be made today. I mean, it is nuts that some of the things that they do and say and talk about... And I Googled.
Feel like today is less nuts than it was in the 90s when they made that movie.
But I think people are more offended by things these days, certainly. And I Googled oral history. I love oral histories. I think they're so fascinating. They have all the people involved, you know, giving their opinions. So it's long. I mean, it's long, long. So I went and I was reading that. So I was actually up late.
I don't actually even get the concept of oral history.
Do you not? So it would be like if in 20 years, you know, let's say we were together for another 15 years. So we will have done 20 years on the air. In 15 years, they come to us and they say, we want to talk about the glory days of Ben and Woods. So you'll have quotes from Paul, quotes from you, quotes from me, quotes from Adam, quotes from Michael, quotes from Hannah, quotes from Megan.
That's an interview and putting a story together. And they've given it a fancy word.
An interview is one person
oral
or
history.
Three people. This is like.
What makes it a different
feature.
Than like a.
It's like an in-depth feature.
Well, it's written. It's a written oral history. It's like a documentary.
That's an
oxymoron. It's a written oral history. I feel like if it's an oral history, I should be listening to someone tell me about it.
Okay. I mean, you can parse out the words that you want to use, but it's I love them personally. Like I can't get
enough.
It's
a group of people recollecting, reminiscing.
The only problem is
sharing stories.
So at the beginning of it, they'll give you Paul Reindel, executive producer, Ben Higgins, co-host, Stephen Woods, co-host, Adam Klug, program director, Michael Valenzuela, general manager, all the people involved. And then as you continue to scroll through, you're like, wait, who is this guy again? He was a producer. And you have to go back up to the top to remember because they don't put the job title next to everyone. So you have to go back and kind of look. But it's really.
Sometimes they'll just do initials.
Yeah, yeah. It's really well done. And you hear the stories, the backstory of how that movie got made and like. It blows your mind. So I love a good oral history.
And that is a good movie.
Yeah, great movie. Great,
that's a really
great,
good
great
movie.
Movie.
So, yeah, tonight.
That's what I did. So I was up late.
You'll be up late again tonight. San Diego State at Fresno State. Now, it's no longer Justin Hutson. Remember, it was Steve Fisher's former assistant who's been the head coach there for the last 5 or 6 years, but they let him go. His contract expired. They didn't bring him back. So they have a new coach. He's actually a longtime high school coach at their powerhouse, Clovis West. And they hired him, and he's got a very specific style. They go up and down the court, like, as fast as they can and as many possessions as possible. And they run an offense. It's a kind of a dribble drive offense. I'm sure Dutch will have them well scouted, but.
Sure.
Just very early to play a conference game. You know, normally the Aztecs don't start conference play until early January or maybe like the last day or two of December at the earliest. But with the new 20-game conference scheduler that they're playing, they have to get at least one of these in early. So they're throwing that in tonight, and you definitely don't want to lose this one if you're San Diego State against Fresno State. They beat them by like 30 twice last year, but totally new team. I mean, Miles Byrd was the only guy who still on the team that scored in that game last year. So we'll see how it looks. You know, Aztecs are fairly heavily favored,
I
believe.
Yeah. I saw a 14-point line last night. I don't know if that's changed at all this morning.
But, you know, there was also 2 years ago, they won a game like 45-43 up there. And on their way to the Final Four, I think, was the barely beat Fresno State in Fresno.
12.5 now.
12.5.
Yep.
So, you know, definitely not one that you can take lightly tonight. And they'll have to continue to play well, you know, make some shots. And if they do, then they should take care of business.
I think I would take them probably at 12.5.
I would lean San Diego State.
14 was like, I was like, God, that's a lot of points on the road.
It's actually, I think, easier to have confidence in San Diego State. Like last year, as good as they were, if Jaden Ledee had an off night,
yeah,
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, who's stepping up? You've got no offense outside of him, essentially.
Now you have a bench that's at least 9, 10
guys.
Now
you feel like, you know what? You have two guys that have an off night. It's fine. There's like 3 or 4 other guys who are going to come in and
Coleman
be able to
Jones
score.
Comes off.
Exactly. So I think there's at least less of a chance of having one of those really bad nights where everyone's off, where San Diego only scores like 50 points, just because they have more depth and more options offensively. So I feel a little more comfortable going into a game like this.
And confidence got to be at an all-time high after your last dub and how you showed out in that tournament. So, yeah, man, keep the good things rolling for the Aztecs. Dutch has done a great job with knowing who to put in and when. I mean, again, it's one of those deals when you have such a deep team, you're like, all right, well, I mean, I'm going to ride the hot hand, but I also got to get some of these guys and make sure that they're firing too. So he's done a really good job so far this year.
All right, when we come back, apparently Yu Darvish is doing exactly what we hoped he would do.
And is that a good thing?
The full court press is on in the Padres' pursuit of Roky Sasaki. We'll give you the update when we return with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Number hopefully 4, Blake Snell.
Nope.
Happy birthday. I didn't realize that today was Blake's birthday. Thank you, Boomer Esiason, for the birthday update.
Shout out to Blake Snell.
Can always be counted on. I can tell you, though, he will not be number 4 with the LA Dodgers.
Nope.
That number is retired. Belongs to Duke Snider. He will be wearing number 7 with
formerly
the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Worn by Julio Urias.
So that's now cool. Available.
Yes.
So that is Blake's new number. He was introduced yesterday as the newest member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I felt like when he went to the Giants, it was like, okay, he went to the Giants.
Yeah.
When I see him in a Dodger blue hat, it looked weird yesterday.
It makes you sick.
He said what he had to say. You know, hey, who wouldn't want to be here?
Yep.
Wanted to live down here, you know, with his lady and
their new baby.
Come down and enjoy Southern California again. And why wouldn't you want to play for the Dodgers?
Of course.
They're killing it right now.
Yep.
They wouldn't expect anything else.
Andrew Friedman said, if you can't beat him, just add him to the team, because they had not fared well against Blake Snell. Game one for them, if healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably your game one starter.
Yeah. Glasnow certainly
the way he
still
pitches.
There.
I don't think he's going to be ready for opening day, is he?
I have no idea. What's his...
Shohei?
He didn't have Tommy John or anything, but...
No, he's hurt.
Yeah. Shohei won't, I would think, not be ready after the offseason surgery.
Maybe Yamamoto.
Yamamoto, you know, had some big playoff hero, gets the opening day start. Now, are they starting in Japan, right?
Ooh, again? They are. They are
so
starting in Japan.
Maybe Yamamoto.
Cubs. Is it the Cubs?
Can't remember.
I don't remember either. I don't care.
Maybe they'll just get jet lagged to death next season.
Let's be honest. It's going to be Corbin Burns or Garrett Crochet.
They're not crazy. Done yet. You can't make that decision at this point.
We're actually going to a 12-man rotation full of all-stars, 1 through 12.
Could we be seeing Roky Sasaki in their starting rotation, or possibly in the Padres' starting rotation? The full court press is apparently on like we expected. We'll get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. I think we sometimes have a tendency to see things, motivations that aren't necessarily there. But when it comes to AJ Preller, I have no doubt that he's got...
Morning, guys.
He's got the long-term plans in place. And Roky Sasaki is not some surprise to AJ. We heard him talking about Roky at Peter Seidler's memorial a year ago. That was certainly not the first time he has been on A.J. Preller's radar.
And that was unexpected.
It was unexpected to hear him say it out loud.
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea was, with all the scouting that they do over there, seeing a guy who was rumored to be maybe even coming over before he was going to cost big money was going to be someone that A.J. Preller would love to be a part of the San Diego Padres. Which, you know, when you started looking at some of the moves, including, and I brought this up, the long extension for Yu Darvish. And, you know, love you, had a great season last year. I'm glad he's part of the Padres rotation. But a lot of people wondered, why are you giving him 6 years?
Right.
He's, you know, he's already, what, 37? It's a long contract to give a pitcher at that stage in his career. Why do you need such, you know, tremendous long-term loyalty from Yu Darvish? And, you know, immediately one of the things that came to my mind was, well, Yu Darvish has a reportedly close mentor relationship with Roki Sasaki. And Yu Darvish is one of the most respected figures. Well, hugely respected here, but in Japan, it's almost like godlike.
Yep.
How they
deity.
Revere Yu Darvish. And if you're trying to position yourself in the race to, you know, win Roki Sasaki.
The race to Roki.
Who can pick whatever team he wants to go to without any really financial differences. How do you separate yourself from the rest of the pack? And the Padres' method is largely centered on Yu Darvish being a member of the Padres. Hideo Nomo as well. And it was confirmed yesterday in The Athletic as Dennis Lynn wrote a piece about how, yes, Yu Darvish is courting and expected to be leading the charge to try to convince Roki Sasaki that the Padres will be the best place for him to start his Major League Baseball career next season.
I think Yu's like 0-for-3, though, in recruiting.
I don't know.
Shohei, Yamamoto, and...
Senga?
And maybe... Imanaga.
Imanaga.
Yeah.
Yuki Matsui came. I have idea if Yu Darvish was an instrumental in the recruiting tactics.
Ray says he didn't try for them.
And you know, Dennis did write a little bit about that. That he did try for Seiya Suzuki. But Cubs offered a lot more money.
Seiya, that's maybe who it was.
Cubs offered a lot more money in that case. So he ended up going to Chicago. He also was fairly high on Chicago and said, no, if you want to go to the Cubs and they're offering you a lot of money, that's a good place to be. You would play there as well. Does sound like, you know, in this case, I don't think Yu is going to be touting the virtues of the Texas Rangers or any other organizations, the Dodgers. It's the Padres that he wants Roki Sasaki to come to. And we'll see if that helps. You know, AJ pulled out all the stops to try to sign Shohei Ohtani, but ultimately there were just a couple of barriers to getting that done. Most importantly, the fact he didn't have a designated hitter spot in the National League at the time. That made him choose the Angels instead of the Padres.
I think about all the jobs you've taken for your mentor, Hacksaw. You know, you have leaned on him for advice for many years.
Club Pilates.
And have modeled your career and personality after him. And I've seen where you've landed. And, I tend to believe.
You're a better radio host for it.
Yeah, you're a better radio host for it.
So, you know, this is obviously, I hate to put too much on any one player, especially knowing could easily go to the Dodgers or, you know, a handful of other teams. Baseball America had a ranking. Ben Badler had his top seven destinations, I think, and it was Dodgers 1, Padres 2, Rangers, Mets, Yankees, Orioles, Red Sox for Roki Sasaki. But he could go to any of the other teams as well. So it's a lot of eggs to put in that basket. Boy, does he solve
a lot of it.
A lot of potential issues for the Padres. Adding a, you know, top flight, potentially starting pitcher at an absolute bargain basement price.
It's a dream, man.
It's a commodity.
It's the San Diego Padres dream.
It doesn't really exist in Major League Baseball nowadays. Unless you hit, you know, draft and develop and hit with a guy who doesn't have, you know, the rookie sophomore slumps and struggles, which is very rare to see a pitcher jump through. Paul Skeens, you know, they're pretty rare in Major League Baseball.
I love Paul Skeens.
This is one of the most valuable commodities that baseball has seen. You know, Juan Soto is a very valuable commodity, but you have to pay hundreds of millions of dollars for him. You do not for Roki Sasaki. It's almost unfair that he's coming over and one team is going to have that advantage. But if there's one team that's going to get that unfair advantage,
I'll take it.
Boy, I would love it to be the San Diego Padres. And if there's one team that doesn't need an unfair advantage right now, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You know what's happening.
That's the one that's going to bother me the most. They could go out and sign Corbin Burns and Juan Soto to go with Blake Snell and whoever else. And I'll go, fine. It's their money. They can do what they want. If they also get the cheap guy, though.
What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing I can do, but I'm not going to be happy about it.
That's his decision to make. And he's got some pretty, as great as Yu Darvish is, you know, but he's got a couple of pretty big allies over on that team, too.
Yamamoto, Ohtani,
and you're looking,
obviously.
And again, if you're looking down the road at saying, man, I'm in a new culture, in a new country. I want to ease my transition. Pretty good place to do it.
Here, although, you know, Dennis pointed out, you know, here you're not quite under the
microscope.
The microscope that you are there with just their hordes of Japanese media.
Just the Ben and Woods microscope. And you know how hard that can be
exactly.
on people. Exactly.
And, you know, that should be one of, you know, you, Darvish's and AJ Preller's selling points. Hey, you know, it's still the bright lights. It's the big city. It's sold out crowds. But it's also not, you know, the L.A. media market. And you're not in the shadow of Shohei Ohtani when you're coming down here as well.
Yeah, Ray said, Roki's never taken the easy route. I mean, I like that about him. I would love to let
What's the easy route? I mean, is the...
L.A.
Is that the easy route?
Yeah.
In some ways, that could be a harder route.
No, it's easy. Easier, I think, than anywhere else right now. I can't let myself get excited about it. I can't. I won't let myself get excited about it. You know, it just seems too logical. They're too confident right now. And usually where there's, it's not necessarily the case in baseball free agency, because you always hear, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Rarely do you see smoke and go and the fire is actually burning where it's supposed to, especially with the San Diego Padres. But I guess if you want to read into it, Mike Schilt talking about moves up A.J. Preller's sleeve, maybe that's lip service, maybe not. Maybe he's just talking nice about his boss. But if when you put it all together, name-checking him at Peter Seidler's Memorial, being in on him for so long, having you, Darvish, sure, I can see the arrow point this way. But when every baseball writer says, yeah, 87% chance he goes to L.A.
There's a few, like Jim Bowden, who say he's not going to the Dodgers.
Right.
But most 80% say he's going to the Dodgers. Adam, our boss, says, in what ways is it more difficult to sign with the Dodgers? It's the expectations. There's no success with the Dodgers other than a World Series title.
Victory, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Everything is a disappointment other than a World Series title. That is hard for some people to know. I have no safety net. I have no soft landing.
It's also awesome.
You come in with the Padres, you have a solid first season and help them, you know, back to the playoffs. No one's going to be mad at you. You come to the Dodgers and you lose a game in the World Series and you lose it, you're the goat, and not in a good way.
The bad goat.
Paulie Reinl's got a Reinl report coming up next.